Pittsburgh, I love you. This is Brian Edward, and you're listening to Berg of Avant, Pittsburgh's cultural talk magazine, delivered digitally, straight up, shaken, and stirred. Tonight's broadcast brought to you by our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Cephalos Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, Pennsylvania, one of the most beautiful and unique venues in the greater Pittsburgh area for weddings, corporate dinners, fundraisers, and more. Visit clubcephalo.com. Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region, view their current season at insideoffthewall.com. Arcade Comedy Theater, providing local and national comedians, sketch comedy, improv, and more. 811 Liberty Avenue, downtown. Be sure to like them on Facebook and find them at arcadecomedytheater.com. Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more and show your support at fireflyarts.org. With us tonight here in the Berg Vivant Bar is contributor Lonnie Jantz, here to review Our Town at the Pittsburgh Public Theater, directed by Ted Pappas. You saw it in preview this week.
I did.
How'd it go?
Well, you know my feelings in general.
I am really looking forward to hearing your thoughts on this, because you hate this show.
I always did.
You have never liked Our Town, and I love it. You know, it's one of my all-time favorite plays. And I get a lot of flack for that. And I think, you know, Our Town does too. I think because it's just done so much. I mean, of course, there's a reason why a classic becomes a classic. That's because right. It's good and people enjoy it. But, you know, when a play passes that barrier that high school drama departments go to it once every 8 years, you know, it's the kind of thing that really gets overdone. But when I look beyond that, you know, about what a slice of life that Thornton Wilder puts forth and the way in which he does it that is so universal and so touching, I have always loved this play. And when theater professionals hear me say that they don't take me seriously, well, everybody likes Our Town. You know, well, not everybody. Not Lonnie Jantz. So, what are your thoughts on the Pittsburgh Public's production of Our Town?
I have to say I was totally shocked that I have a different feeling about Our Town now. I have seen it so many times. The first time was in San Francisco around 1970 or 1971.
Town's a lot different from Our Town.
It certainly is. And I really thought I hadn't seen anything so dreadful ever when I saw it the first time. And it was a professionally done theater troupe, and I'm sure they were very good equity actors. But I don't know if it was the time of my life. I don't know. And since then, I've seen it countless times because it comes with your season subscription.
Oh, yeah.
Wherever you subscribe, you're going to see Our Town. And the only reason I even went this time is because I knew you wanted to talk to me about it. I was ready to give my tickets to my friend that I go with and just say,
give them to me. Like I said,
else.
I love that show.
Well, guess what? So do I.
All right. You have become a believer.
I have.
You're part of the town.
I don't know how it happened. I just, everything in this entire play made sense. It touched me. At the end, I couldn't control myself. I was crying so hard. I was embarrassed. And of course, I didn't have tissues because I wasn't expecting to be moved or touched at all. I was kind of expecting. I had some wine with dinner. I thought, I'll sleep through it. I'll be fine.
Oh, God.
Didn't close my eyes, not one time, not for 30 seconds. From the minute Tom Atkins, as the stage manager, stepped out on that stage, I was spellbound. And I've seen Tom Atkins act several times, as we all have, living in Pittsburgh. He's one of our premier actors. And it was like that part was made for him. He did it with so many little nuances, you know. He seemed to really not only be an observer, but care about the people and care about the characters, and a little bit of wry humor. He just very, very well done, and just a perfect performance. And this was the first night of preview week. I don't see how it can get any better, but you know, usually, as a play progresses, the characters develop even more and become even more rich and full. But I was so impressed with that. And I've seen him in countless things. I always thought he was a wonderful actor, of course. But this, to me, which would seem like a simple role to act, but the way he did it, it was so complex. And I just, he just wove things together and tied things together so well. And as you know, Ted Pappas was the director. And as he did this, his thoughts were, I act like I spoke directly to him. I did not. I read this in an article. His thoughts were to make our town about Pittsburgh in a certain way, our town. So he has a cast, I think there are 24 in the cast, and they're all either Pittsburgh actors or close ties to Pittsburgh. And he did that because this is the 100th year anniversary or birthday for Actors Equity.
Oh,
and
very good.
He considers this an actor's play. So he did it to honor the actors. And this was also the 75th anniversary of the first time this play was produced. So he did it out of respect for Pittsburgh actors and Pittsburgh talent. And there were several very familiar Pittsburgh actors in it. Larry John Meyer.
Yes. Yeah.
Linda Hastings.
Oh, love Linda.
Ken Bolden. Yeah. Daniel Carell, who am I forgetting?
John Shepherd,
yes. A lot of the people that we see, like a PICT.
The cast, just looking at the cast list, incredible talent.
Yes.
All in one place, all on the same stage.
They were.
And I like the fact that, you know, there was an intent to gear it all to Pittsburgh.
I like that, too.
It's, I think, the mistake that a lot of people make with this play is to put too heavy a concept on it, because then it becomes something else completely. You don't need to put a heavy concept on this play. The play in itself, it comes with its own concept.
It certainly does.
The way that Thornton Wilder portrays life, you know, the way that he bends time, the way that he has this sort of narrator that exists on a different plane. You don't need to mess with it. He's given you know, the concept. But Ted's concept here, I really like it, because it's not so much a concept that interferes with anything that Thornton Wilder was doing. I think, in fact, if anything, it builds upon it. Other productions I've seen of it, too, I think a lot of directors and casts have fallen into the trap of just it altogether being too dreary, you know? And it's easy to do.
Yes.
But there's a lot of celebration in it, you know, celebrating life itself. Of course, there are poignant moments, you know, that may evoke tears, but it sounds like they're right on the mark with this.
I think so. If they could get me with this production, if they could get me to like Our Town, there was definitely a lot going on that was right.
I was worried about you walking in there to see it. I didn't know, you know, you with your history with Our Town, if you'd make it.
Well, but I was thinking, you know, if I went to see it, I'd have to try to really struggle to find something positive to say, like maybe, gee, their volume was good. Or I could hear everybody clearly. You know, I was even thinking ahead of time, how can I say something positive? And now I really, and you know, I'm critical when I go to the theater. I really can't find anything negative to say.
Wow. So standout performances for you. I mean, of course, you mentioned Tom Atkins, who, you know, does have the brunt of the speaking in it as
yes,
the stage manager.
And George, I don't know the actor's name, that played the love lead. He was just adorably sweet and lovable and real. But every character, you know, these are professional people.
That
character was
George
wonderful.
Gibbs.
Yes.
Yes, a very sweet role. And, you know, when people talk to me about my, you know, acting past, you know, they say, what roles are you dying to play? What role would you never want to play? As much as I love this play, I would never, ever, ever want to cast myself as George Gibbs. It's the farthest thing from me. You know, I'll enjoy watching somebody who's very adept, but I mention this because many, many years ago in conservatory, in an acting class, I was cast in that. And I, it's just not me.
No, I can't see that either.
It is the farthest thing from me to play George Gibbs. So I always get a kick out of seeing. And I always think, do you remember, I don't know if you've ever seen it, but back, God, maybe even in the, it had to be the 80s, they did a film version of this. They filmed a stage version. Robbie Benson was George Gibbs. And like, who better? Oh gosh, Emily, blah, blah, you know, perfect, perfect. Not Brian Edwards. Don't, you know, unless George Gibbs is having a champagne at 10 a.m., you know, then I'm putting it out there. But, you know, and that's not an easy role to do either, because, you know, well, it wouldn't be for me, you know, finding that depth. But it sounds like everybody's pulling it off fantastic. I've got to get down to see this. It's in preview this week, so you know, folks certainly have plenty of opportunity to get down there and kind of see our town, Pittsburgh, reflected on the stage. Yes. But, you know, and now, you know, all the times I've seen it, it's coming back to me. What were the key moments for you?
One of the key moments is going to sound really silly. Really silly.
Well, I'll be the judge of that. What is it?
No, truly. I'm almost embarrassed to say it, but one of the key moments was when Linda Haston appeared on the balcony to speak her part, and I saw her costume. These costumes were fabulous. And Linda had on this wonderful hat. I was mesmerized by this hat. I want that hat. I have to have that hat. Linda, if you're listening, do what you can. I want that hat. Talk to Ted. Seriously, and especially because I know Linda on a personal level too, and when I saw that hat, I just thought, that's
give
it.
Me that hat,
give me that hat. And that's what I said.
Now, I'm assuming it was, they did the show in period, you know, so it was,
yes, the costumes were wonderful.
Would you now, if you would you wear wonderful. This hat out though today?
Yes, I would. I'd wear it right now if I had it. I would have it on my head this moment if I had that hat.
So I think the,
and I'd wear it on this side,
the
so it would show to the camera.
The kernel of truth to pull from this is that the costumes were very well done.
That's what I was trying to say.
All right. Especially Linda's hat.
Especially.
It's a play about a hat, after all.
No, and the lighting was spectacular. And I know, again, you're asking about dramatic moments, but I was so drawn up in that play from the minute, well, I can't say the curtain went up because there's no curtain there, but
spoiler alert, no curtain, folks.
We know that. Everybody that goes to the public knows there's no curtain. But I was so mesmerized from start to finish that there were no particular moments. It was an experience. I was transported. I was feeling so much that the characters were feeling. And I think because I became so engrossed in it and so intertwined that the end, which we all know, it's not a spoiler alert, when the dead were all talking, it just moved me to tears because
the funeral scene always
gets
me.
It was just, and it was beyond that, even when they were talking about,
well, I shouldn't say funeral scene, the cemetery scene,
right,
when they're all in the cemetery, it's,
and they're all just, I've seen it before where they make the characters look like zombies and it was just not relatable to, but this, they were still, and they were calm. They weren't like zombies. They were just sitting
They're
quietly.
They're kind of bored, and that's,
and, yes,
in a way, isn't that terrifying?
Yes.
Because
They're
that,
so
in Thornton Wilder's depiction of the afterlife, is that simply it. It's almost worse than, in a way, than just being nothing, just to be bored for eternity, kind of. And, you know, I don't want to whitewash it and just call it boredom. I mean, there's a little more dimension for that. But, you know, that cemetery scene for me is always one of the most emotional parts.
And
to see that depiction of the afterlife.
So still,
but really, I think the message to take from that, too, is not like this fear of death, but really, I think, to celebrate while you're here, because
absolutely,
after that, you might not be, you know, all that great. The other element in this play that has always stood out to me is when Emily is permitted to go back.
Oh, yes.
Back and experience a day from her life. from her youth. And what's interesting about this is the stage manager, or in a sense, Thornton Wilder, prevents her from making it a significant day, like a birthday.
Any day, right.
Or, you know, the day when not a day that was a landmark day. It had to be just a kind of a plain, ordinary day, because you know what? That is enough. That blows me away every time, because, I mean, think about it. If you had the opportunity to do that, to go back 20 years, just any ordinary day, and see yourself and your family, people that now have gone, I mean, that would just cause me to weep. You could show me the most frivolous thing from 20, 25 years ago. It doesn't matter. And I'd lose it.
You know? That was the whole point. When they,
exactly.
You know, they say, they just don't get it. And I don't know how many times they said that. You know, they just don't understand. They just don't understand. And I guess we don't. It's so brief and so fleeting, the time we're here. And we're complaining about trivialities and not appreciating everything that we have.
Lillian Russell's famous quote, "Live the best you can while you can." And I think that Our Town, as a piece of drama, really shows that without telling it.
Yes, absolutely. You know?
So I'm looking forward to seeing this. I really am. What other kind of any twists, anything, you know, that really stood out about this as opposed to your previous viewings of Our Town?
Again, it sounds silly, but the lighting to me was almost another character.
Huh.
It was, normally you go to a play, you don't even think about the lighting unless it's really poorly done, or unless it's exceptionally well done. And this was so well done, it helped to create the proper mood, without music, without any, just the way the lighting was conducted and designed, it just made everything so real and so honest and, you know, so gripping.
Great. Now, usually with Our Town, the set is minimalistic.
Totally. A couple ladders, few chairs, a table, you know, and they were off the stage as often as they were on, which is one of the things I never liked about it. In fact, it's funny because I could see the wall that wasn't there this time. I could see a wall between the two lovers on their ladders. And it was so real.
You know who my two favorite characters in this are? Is Mrs. Soames, the, like, kind of nebby, to throw in a Pittsburgh term, nebby neighbor lady, who, in that film version that's so iconic, was played by Charlotte Ray, who was Mrs. Garrett on Facts of Life. So Charlotte Ray is tattooed in my mind as Mrs. Soames. And Simon Stimson, the drunk church pianist or organist or whatever. I mean, there's not that much, like, that's, you know, on the surface humorous about them, but they're just so real. You know, they're just, I mean, every character in this play, you know, thanks to Thornton Wilder, is so honest. But those two amuse me to no end, you know, just because, you know, we know these people.
Yes, you know? We do.
I mean, this poor guy that's clunking away on the church organ, what's the song that they do? I can't think of it now, but, art thou weary, art thou languid, that's what, you know. And I've seen that character done in numerous times. Daniel Krell plays him in the Publix version that we're talking about now, and I'm sure he does an excellent job. But that is one of my favorite characters, just because you feel bad for the poor guy. Everybody's, you know, enjoying their lives. He's just the poor miserable one. And Mrs. Soames, the town gossip, is just hysterical, too. Of course, I always see Charlotte Ray. But those are the two that I always look forward to. When I see Our Town, but I'm certainly looking forward to this. It sounds like all the elements are coming together.
They certainly are.
Lighting, performance, direction, concept.
Costumes.
Yeah,
hats.
We can't forget about Linda's hat.
No,
I've got to see this. So this may be worth seeing just for Linda Hastin's hat. Oh my gosh.
Love
that. I'm curious now.
It was a really wonderful production and totally changed my mind about Our Town. I will no longer compare Grover's Corners to Lake Wobegon or St. Olaf's. No more. None of that. I don't know why it felt corny to me in the past, and it
felt
real to me
now. Probably because it was not done as well as the public's handling it now.
Probably.
But I am a big fan of Thornton Wilder, and I know that that may sound trite, but there is a reason why, you know. And it's because of plays like this that really just are able to show life in a way that nobody else really has. There's a one-act play that he wrote, which in many ways is similar to the concept of Our Town. And I had the pleasure to direct this many years ago. It's called The Long Christmas Dinner. And I highly recommend seeing it if you can, because plays like this, I think plays altogether are really meant to be seen, not read.
Of course.
You know, I think you get a completely different feel, you get a completely different impression reading it than seeing it, which is, you know, I think tough for playwrights, you know, because that's how they have to sell it. Right. You got to read it, you know, before it's done. Really, they should be able to show it to you. But The Long Christmas Dinner is about a 45 minute piece of drama by Thornton Wilder, and it all takes place at a family Christmas dinner table, and seamlessly you go through about 60-70 years of Christmas dinners in 40 minutes.
Oh, wow.
And it's seamless,
kind of like Dinner for One.
The famous well, no, that's one night, but
many years of it.
Well, but people watch it every year, that's why. But no, you see people gradually age and get older, and one archway that leads into the room represents life, and another archway that leads into the room represents death. So once somebody's been there for a while, they'll, you know, slowly, you know, they'll take their exit through the archway that represents death, and you'll never see them again. And every once in a while, a new child is born, a nurse brings it through the archway that represents life, you know, and then the next 2 minutes later, that baby is now a teenager that romps into the room, and then 10 minutes later, that teenager is now in place of the father cutting the turkey. And the things that they talk about, you know, over the course of, you know, 60 years, and what you see in the generations that go by, it's just spellbinding. And again, it's that magic that Thornton Wilder has as a playwright to show that in writing and then subsequently on stage.
The Woody Allen of his time. The obsession with the death. Death, always death.
I would never have thought to compare Thornton Wilder to Woody Allen. But you know, there could be an essay in that. There could be an essay in that.
But
I don't intend to write it here and now.
No.
We'll leave that to the scholars.
That's for sure. But talking about Thornton Wilder and how you're kind of enamored with him, I was so surprised to learn that he was quite the bon vivant in his day. He wrote, his second novel was The Bridge Over San Luis Rey, and that became so popular in the late 20s that he became a man in demand, and he traveled the world. He was in Germany, spent time there, hung out with Albert Einstein, Sigmund Freud. He was friends with Mia Farrow.
Well, there's your Woody Allen connection.
That's true. Maybe that's why.
Mia Farrow?
Yes.
Like when she was two?
Well, perhaps. No, he actually took a vacation with Mia and one of her husbands.
Maybe I'm thinking that Thornton Wilder is older than he is.
Well, no, he was born in the late 1800s, 1897, something like that. But he was friends with Ernest Hemingway. He spent time with all these people. Gertrude Stein.
Oh, yes.
Elizabeth Taylor.
Now, wouldn't you have liked to have been at one of his parties?
I would have liked to have been him. Although I have a question about him. He wrote about small towns, small town life, families, yet he never married. And he was not a homebody. He was always on the go and traveling. And, you know, I tried to find out in a little research if he was gay or not, but I couldn't find out. Well, I'm thinking, you know, he's writing all this about families, but yet he never had one.
Are you trying to out Thornton Wilder here on my show?
No, I don't know. I don't know. I'm just...
I never thought about that either.
Posing the question. Why was he so fascinated with family life, family.
But yet he never had a family himself. Maybe that itself is the reason.
And small towns when he was always on the go.
Well, you know, that would be an interesting essay too. You know, I can tell you that, you know, growing up as a military brat, as they call it, and I detest that term. I've always had good manners. You know, having to move all around all the time. I crave the consistency of, you know, a peaceful, small slice of, you know, Americana, small town. Now, I love the city, too, but there's part of me that just desires that. And I think it comes from having moved around throughout all my childhood. I was born in Pittsburgh, but never lived here till college because of that very reason. So, you know, don't get me wrong. I am a Pittsburgher, and I love this town. And I think that that's why, not that Pittsburgh's a small town, but, you know, having gone everywhere. And we're talking not just like, you know, here, and we're talking Alaska. I lived in Alaska for a year. That really, I think, made me crave that home, that sense of, you know, because I had adventured. And that, you know, I had no control over. You know, Thornton probably did, but that might be part of it. I don't know. But that, as I said, would be an interesting essay, too. Now, I do not have any information as to Mr. Wilder's sexuality, regardless of what you may have heard or what he may have told you. No. I don't know anything. But, yeah, no, I don't know about that. I never heard anything, and people talk.
Yeah, I just it just seemed interesting that families seem to mean so much to him.
Yeah, it's important. Yeah, and that is a common thread in a lot of his work. We'll have to look into that. And it's certainly, you know, nowhere more prevalent than in our town, which, again, we can see this month at the Pittsburgh Public.
Until the 27th of October.
Our town will run at the Pittsburgh Public Theater, directed by Ted Pappas, through October 27th. And based on Miss Jantz, the theater lady's glowing recommendation, we here at Berg Vivant highly recommend it. So skedaddle down and see it. And see some little hints of Pittsburgh reflected through the actors in our town as well. Thank you, Lonnie, for checking it out. We'll be looking forward to your next review. And in closing, we, of course, just want to thank again our spectacular sponsors and strategic partners, Zapallo's Banquet and Event Center, Carnegie, PA, Off the Wall Theater, enlivening, educating, and entertaining audiences in the Pittsburgh region, Arcade Comedy Theater, 811 Liberty Avenue downtown, and Berg Vivant is a proud supporter of Firefly Arts, creating opportunities and support for families living with autism through innovative arts programming. You can learn more at fireflyarts.org. This is Brian Edwards saying goodnight. See you next time.